Thank you for subscribing to the Extra Mile Podcast. Help us out by leaving a review and a 5-star rating wherever you download the show. After leaving a review, slide on into our DMs over on social media at MississippiDOT and let us know. As a thank you, we have compiled a Google Map list of all of our guests' favorite spots to eat on Mississippi highways. It is our gift to you. Seriously, you guys are the best. We could not do the show without you, and we greatly appreciate the support. Remember, drive smart out there on Mississippi highways.
That's nearly $2 billion, and that's money that's going to be spent on improving safety, enhancing mobility, and improving economic growth and development in the state of Mississippi.
Yeah, and with this historic funding from the legislature, new construction will be popping up all over Mississippi.
MDOT presents the Extra Mile Podcast.
Men and women of the Department of Transportation are up to the task and up to make sure that we deliver a product that the taxpayers can be proud of. So I'm ready for us to go to work.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Extra Mile Podcast legislative session presented by the Mississippi Department of Transportation. I'm MDOT Deputy Director of Public Affairs, Paul Catul, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Will Kraft. He is the Director of Public Affairs at MDOT, and today we have a new guest on the show. We have State Treasurer David McRae. He has been treasurer since the year 2020, and we're very excited to have him on the show. So, Treasurer, so the way we do things, first time someone comes on, we like to kind of get a little background information on them. And I understand you kind of have a different path kind of coming from the private sector. So talk about why you decided to get into public service and why you wanted to be an elected official.
Well, Paul, Will, I appreciate y'all having me here. It's an honor to be here, long-time viewer, first-time guest.
Love it.
I watch it every time on Facebook when y'all post it. So I'm glad to be here, glad to be invited. And I come from a little different aspect of politics in terms of I wasn't a politician before I became treasurer. I was from the private sector. I was managing partner of my family's family office, investment office, and came through that way. I'm a lawyer by trade, but I practiced very little and then went into private practice with my family in terms of helping them with their legal work, and somehow became managing partner. And if you've ever worked with family, that is should prepare you for government work in terms of having to deal with a lot of different personalities, even though they were only my brother and my father. But it was good. It was fun. But I wanted to get into politics because I really just thought being an outsider, being someone who takes the business side of things to and sees a different perspective of politics and government, I thought I had a lot to add, and I think I do have a lot to add. I have three young children. I have a 13-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 8-year-old. And at the time, in 19, they were whatever age they were. And we could do the quick math, I guess, but whatever they were. I thought, what kind of state am I leaving my children in? My great-grandfather and grandfather and father always had those questions when they ran McRae's department store. They said, what kind of place are we leaving our children, our grandchildren, and whatnot? And I had that same kind of question, and I thought the best way I could do that is through the Treasury, through finance, through helping the state get into good fiscal shape, helping people find money, which we'll talk about later, helping people with college savings and saving for college, and things of that nature. And really, from the Treasury, it's the best way to do that. And I will say this kind of jokingly, I did take over the Treasury in 2020, and I was on the job for about 60 days before COVID hit.
Oh, man.
And, remember that? Yes.
Before, like it was yesterday.
Oh, yes. It's all a blur. But before COVID hit. So, really it was getting in the office, learning all the personalities, learning how government works in terms of being in charge of it, not just from the outside of it, and just kind of putting it all together. And I think we've done a really good job over the Treasury at this point.
Good stuff.
Absolutely. We're big fans as well. Thanks for the shout out. Always good to have a listener on the show, That's good stuff. But just talking about the Treasurer's Office, kind of give us an overview. I know, don't have to go into everything because you guys have a lot of responsibilities, a lot on your plate, but what are some of maybe the highlights, the big things y'all are working on?
So the best way, and that's good because a lot of people don't really know what the Treasury does. They know it exists and we're here and we do a lot of things, but we handle a lot of, we're essentially the best way in the overall view of it. We are the bank of the state.
Okay.
Everything comes through us, sits in our servers, used to be in a vault, but now sits on servers because of technology and all that. So every dollar, every cent, everything we do comes through the Treasury. We handle roughly $26 billion worth of assets a year, transactions a year. And so, but that's kind of the side people don't see. We handle the bond rating. We handle all the investments. We handle all the unclaimed property, all the college savings. And we're a tiny little office. We're about 36 people, give or take.
Okay.
And so we handle all that with just a very skeleton crew. So we do a lot of work over there and a lot of things and a lot of important things. But like I said, you know, the more side people don't pay attention to is like the investments, but the side people really do pay attention to is unclaimed property and college savings because that really affects people and their everyday lives.
Get into that just a little bit, if you don't mind. What's the unclaimed property? Now, that is people as well as agencies and other things, right? I think you had brought a check here for DOT.
So when I first started at Treasury, at the Treasury, and Brad had finally become the executive director over here, I called Brad up, and we had found him unclaimed. We found y'all unclaimed property money. And the name's kind of misleading. It's in statute called unclaimed property, but we don't handle physical property. We only handle money, and it's money that's been lost over time. It could be a deposit. It could be a life insurance policy. It could be wills that are probated and can't find the rightful owner. It can be actually bank accounts. People, you know, have to move really quick and don't close a bank account out and just kind of forget about it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, people do that. I mean, it's quite amazing what people do. But it's, you know, but it, the average Mississippian has roughly $2,100 out there, you know, that's our average payout.
Oh, wow.
To people, and 1 in 10 Mississippians have it. You can go to treasury.ms.gov and look up your name, and that's one thing coming from the business side I wanted to do was make things more efficient in state government, especially at the Treasury. And so I had seen on the business side, most everything had gone to websites. You know, you go to a bank, you can do all your banking online, apps, things of that nature. And one thing I really wanted to do, and one complaint I always heard when I was running in 19, was that unclaimed property needed still paper. Now, you can still use paper, but that's the only way was to claim your money, was paper and get a notary and all that. So one thing, I set a goal to my unclaimed property department is create a website, create on the Treasury website, go into treasury.ms.gov, and you can click the unclaimed property link and you can find your name, your business, or whatever. And if it's yours, you just click that's me, fill out a couple little fields and whatnot, and we'll get the money to you. It was so effective that we've been able to give back $85 million in 4 years. We're going to hit 100 probably this year. I'm hoping we hit 100 this year. And it was so effective. We had a backlog of roughly 15,000 cases. And so, I mean, so it was kind of a victim of success there and whatnot. And so we put in a new system last year, and we now bought some new program, new software, and updated it. And, again, more efficient, more trying to make things more productive over there. And what we now have is no backlog with this new software. So we've gone through 15,000 cases, and it used to be where – You could get your money back. We wanted to do it in 14 business days, but with all that and such a few amount of people working on it, we could never do that. Now we can get it back to you in about 10 to 14 business days.
That's incredible.
And that money, you know, that's a huge economic boost for the state of Mississippi because it's tax free. We pay you the interest. We do all these things. And it's your money, and I don't want it. The state probably does want it, but I don't want it, and I want to give it back to you because it's yours. I mean, it rightfully is yours. And it goes into the local communities. It goes into the local, you know, businesses, small businesses, which, you know, I'm very sympathetic to. Coming from McCray's, we were a small business at one time. I get it. And so we want to help people out. I'll tell you a story. About one that got lost over time was there was this family who I know and I won't name, but they had a foundation. The last member of the foundation died, so the money needed to go be paid out. So in her will, she wanted to send it to the School for the Deaf and the Blind. It was about $250,000. And this was in 2017. They earmarked it from the will and all that stuff, but it got lost because the address was written wrong or it couldn't be read. So it sat at a bank for 5 years, and we finally found it in Christmas of 2022. Okay. And then in 2023, we finally got it and gave it back to the rightful owners, which was School for the Deaf and the Blind. And they got $250,000.
That's
That's just how things get lost over time. It's not your fault or anybody else's fault. It's just over time, things just slip through the cracks. We found hospitals, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. We found there's one person we found $800,000 life insurance policy they didn't know they had.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it's amazing what people have. I mean, we don't put the exact amounts on the website for security and safety reasons and all that, but it'll say over $200 or over $100. And people think, oh, well, it's just going to be $100 or $400 or $500. Nah. We found people who said that, and then we found them $25,000 or $75,000. I mean,
I know what we're doing right after this episode.
But I already did it. I'm not gonna lie. This morning to prep for the show, unfortunately, I don't have any. Will, you should definitely do it.
Well, and, you know, it's great to look periodically because I looked back last August and I didn't have any, and I was down in Wiggins, and I was talking to a group and whatnot, saying, "Oh, you need to constantly look, blah blah blah, and all that stuff." And somebody in the audience found me, Uncle Me Money.
That's amazing.
And I had just looked in August, and it wasn't a large amount of money. It was just some money, and which is great. I mean, you know, how many times do you put on in the winter now that we got summer months, so you don't put on a coat anymore, really. But in the winter, you put on a coat, find $20, and you're excited as could be. You know, so even if it says you have less than $100, I still say, hey, look, if it's there, claim it. It's yours. I mean, things are more expensive. To have just a little bit of money in your pocket would be a great thing to do.
No doubt, no doubt.
That's incredible.
So that's a great program. Another great program, one that my parents did, was the College Savings Program. Mm-hmm. That's really good. I know saving for college can be a very daunting task. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about how that works?
So, you know, the average young adult graduates college with roughly $32,000 worth of debt. And when I first started as treasurer, that was $30,000. So you can just do the math over 4 years, that's $2,000. So you just keep, you know, going up. And college is going to get more expensive. I guarantee you that. I mean, there's not many guarantees, but college does get more expensive. So we at the Treasury have, and we've rebranded it as College and Career Savings. So we're really pushing vocational training, and I'll get into that in a second. But we have two college savings programs. We have the prepaid one. So if it costs $1 today, it'll cost $1 tomorrow to go to college.
Wow.
So, of course, I'll make that number up. But whatever it costs today, it'll cost tomorrow. And the earlier you can start on that, the better. I mean, so if you have a newborn, signing them up for a college savings program would be great. And, you know, you save yourself a ton of money. I mean, the point is to save money. And then we have what's called what I consider kind of like a checking account type of program. And you can put in as little as much as you want, starting at $25 and then go up to a certain, a little higher amount. And you can do that yearly. And those both do a little something different. Like I said, the prepaid is mainly for tuition. The checking account one can count towards tuition, room and board, books, supplies, and things of that nature. But we're also pushing career savings. The Mississippi Chamber of Commerce wants an increase in workforce, so by 2030. And these are good-paying jobs that the Mississippi Chamber of Commerce is talking about. So we are pushing vocational training, two-year colleges that learn a skill. And, you know, not everybody, you know, can go to a four-year school and for whatever reason. Vocational training, you are learning a great skill. A dental hygienist makes roughly $99,000. An electrician makes roughly $65,000. I mean, these are great paying jobs, and you know, and they're in need. And so, you know, I think a lot of people think that, hey, vocational training or community college means I'm not prepared to go to a four-year college. That's a really misnomer.
Right.
That's totally a misnomer. It just means that you want to go make money. You just want to go make money, and, you know, these skills are needed. I mean, I know Ingalls and other shipbuilders need welders. I mean, those are in short supply. And these are great jobs. I mean, and you're graduating from a two-year program without any debt. And, you know, with Amazon coming and the EV plant coming, you know, technical, more like computer and technology-based certification, that's going to be your new vocational training. That's going to be, so like, hey, I don't want to do diesel mechanics or any welding, so vocational training is not for me. But I guarantee you, when Amazon comes and builds and needs those servers, they're going to need people who have the server maintenance training needed for those. So, I mean, that's your new generation of vocational training. And also, just because you go to community college, it's not the end. It's not your stopping point. I had a young woman work as an intern for me over at the Treasury, and she got into Mississippi State, and kind of a half ride to Mississippi State. She got a full ride into her local community college, and she's a very bright young woman. And she decided that she would rather go to the community college because she got the full ride, because she knew her first 2 years in community college were going to be the first same kind of curriculum as it would be at State. And so she did that and did so well at the community college and reapplied to State and then got a full ride to State.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I mean, those are kind of like jumping off points people can do. I mean, so like I said, I mean, and I've seen that more and more and more people doing that. But going back to your question, college savings can pay for that. College savings can help you. College savings can be used to community colleges, four-year colleges, because the idea is not to have debt for you when you graduate. And that's the whole point behind this. And not because when you have debt, it really affects life decisions. It affects when you have a child, it affects where you live. And we constantly hear about the brain drain and people leaving Mississippi. Well, we're finally getting jobs, and we're finally getting the, you know, jobs people want to do here in Mississippi, and more of them. And so we want to keep kids, young adults here. So the more we, you know, have them save for college so they don't have to go off and find a job somewhere else that pays to pay off the debt, I think that works out better.
And, I mean, just from my own knowledge here, you know, again, we got lots of parents being represented right here in this room. The age, I mean, as soon as the baby's born, we can start on the college savings program, right?
That's right. That's right. As soon as the baby is born in the hospital, well, I mean, you want
to do the paperwork right
now. You could go online and fill out the paperwork. You can go to treasury.ms.gov. We have almost every question possible for you on that answer. And if that doesn't work, you know, just get up to my office and we can figure it out from there. I have people who are, you know, dying to talk to people about it.
I bet, and I know that's the truth too. 36 folks working 15,000 case backlog and now zero backlog. I know it's unclaimed property, but that's an impressive number. That jumps out at
me. Well, you know, the big thing at McRae's was customer service. And I view the people in Mississippi as my constituents. And not just constituents, but they're my customers. They're my clients. And so I take it to a whole nother level. That ingrained attitude that my great-grandfather instilled in my grandfather and my father into me was customer service. Because without customer service, McRae's would have never been there. And we wouldn't have lasted as long as we lasted. So I'm trying my hardest to do that in state government.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we answer the phone. We are there. And we try to get to yes. I mean, we never try to get to no unless it's just not possible. But we're always trying to get to yes, and we're going to find any way to do that. And whether it's unclaimed property, whether it's college savings, we want to get to that yes, and we want to help you out. And I hope you have a good experience with us. And if not, just always let me know.
That's awesome. Yeah, we greatly appreciate that. Staying on some of the same note, but a little bit of a fun fact, if you will, I guess. And Director Brad White, a big friend of yours, I know, but mentioned this that I should ask you about it. So I guess there's something in Constitution about counting the states, physically counting the state's money?
Yeah. So, you know, if you go back and read Mississippi's Constitution, there's all sorts of weird quirks and little things in there. And actually, one of my favorite part of the legislature is when they try to clean that up. I mean, there's little things here and there. But in the Constitution, there is a thing that says that the governor and treasurer have to count the money in the vault. And also, we weren't allowed to stay there beyond sunset.
I didn't want you to run it off with it.
There was a lot of trust issues at some point in Mississippi of their treasurer and governor. So there was obviously some massive trust issues there. But yeah, we're there working past sunset sometimes, most of the time, and you know, so but we don't have to count the money anymore. It's all on the server, so it's all there. It's all there and accounted for. So that's good.
The vault is still there, though.
But
correct?
Oh yes, the vault's there. It has some old bonds in it from way back when, and has some of our Israeli bonds in there that we've done, and some other little artifacts that I'd say are in there. And but it's all closed up, so no one gets locked in there. So
it's in the Capitol, right?
It's over. Well, we do have one in the Capitol.
Okay.
We do have the treasurer's old office used to be in the Capitol.
Okay.
And now I think that's Chad McMahon's office now.
I think
But it's in there, and it's really cool looking. It's open glass in the back vault. It has all the gears and all that stuff in it. But we actually have we're over in the Wolfolk building right next door to here. And we have a vault in there.
I did not know that.
Yeah, we have a vault in there. So, it's kind of the timeout corner.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's all sealed up. Yeah, absolutely.
So if somebody makes me really mad, we'll just seal them up in there.
Okay, hey,
what about this? So next time you come on the show, can we do the show live from the vault?
Yeah, sure. Since we're not having to broadcast this, we'll see if we can get signal in there. But yes, I see why not. It'll be massively echoey. But yes,
true.
But it will be fun. Yeah, let's do that.
I think it's a great idea. All right, so doing a little show prep this morning. As state treasurer, you serve on, I believe, 17 boards
That's right. Don't ask me to name them all, but yes.
Fair enough. We're going to zero in on one, the PERS board. Lots going on with PERS right now. Can you kind of frame that? What's going on?
Well, PERS is a difficult subject. It is my most important board I sit on. Because it is complicated beyond belief. I've learned more in the last 4 years about pensions than I ever thought I'd learn in my lifetime. I enjoy sitting on that board. I enjoy helping Mississippians with the retirement and making sure it lasts. For anyone watching this or listening to this and that it's in the PER system, I know there's been a lot in the legislature right now and a lot of, you know, flux and everything. You know, if you're in PERS today, you will get your PERS check from here on out. It is, I believe, a contractual obligation that the state does. When you sign up for the state, you have no choice but to sign up for PERS. So, you know, I believe it's a contract. And it is full faith and credit backed by the state of Mississippi. And so you will be owed it one way or not. You know, one interesting thing, people always think that PERS' investments aren't doing well. They're doing fantastic. They're in the 2 percentile. Of the country.
Wow.
Our managers are paid some of the least amount of money, which is still a lot of money, but they're managing billions and billions of dollars. But our investments are doing great. PERS does need a little help. I mean, it is, depending on the numbers you read, somewhere between 58 and 61% funded, which is roughly average for the state, for the country. After 08, things happened. You know, and it just needs to recover from it. But, you know, it does need a little help, and I think the board has submitted some good suggestions to the legislature, so we'll see what they come up with, and we'll just go from there.
I think that's great. You know, yeah, and as all of us sitting here in this room are on that, you know, we're in the PERS system, too. We're very much looking forward to the day in the distant future when we can collect those checks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know, working for state government, there's two great benefits. You know, working for the state, I love it. I love helping people and whatnot and all that. But one of the two things that people are kind of carried on the stick to work for the state is the health care and pension. And my obligation on the board is to make sure that the pension is solvent for the future. You know, it's there for you all, from, you know, everybody that's on it, and also for future generations. I mean, because you want people to work for the state. I mean, it's one of the largest employers, period. And you want to make sure the pension's there. I mean, because if it's not, then, you know, people will find somewhere else to work.
That's right. I've got about 25 years before I cross that, you know, milestone.
Well, we want you to work for a while.
I will be here, no doubt.
Wherever.
And a lot of this we have kind of touched on a little bit from a broader spectrum, I guess, but kind of the resounding main point here is personal finance and being on top of that. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of maybe at an early on being on top of personal finance?
Well, you know, the earlier you can learn how to budget, the earlier you learn what interest is and how it accrues and how it is, you know, you always want to pay off your credit card on time, you know, the full amount, how to budget correctly so that you know how much money you have going into the next month and things of that nature. You know, the earlier you can learn these things, the better off you're going to be later in life. I mean, it really is. And there's great tables out there that say, you know, show you how much you save per month and you put it away and how much you'll have in X year. And I strongly advise, you know, going to Google and doing that. And it really is amazing how quick it adds up over time. But I think people, you know, need to know, younger people need to know, you know, when you get your first credit card, that, you know, interest paying off, you know, you don't want to pay the interest. I mean, you want to pay it off.
Right.
You know, you don't want that penalty.
That 24% coming at you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, you want to, I mean, in this day and age with high interest rates for homes and loans and things like that, I think people are getting a really great education of how important interest rates are and interest in general. So the earlier, I mean, I'm restating myself, but the earlier you can learn that, like high school, junior high, yeah, things of that nature, it really will benefit you. And also it's good math training as well. I mean,
very
just learning.
So.
Learning how to do that, and you know, you see a lot of adults who don't understand that, and
sure,
the dangers of compound interest and how it will really affect you.
Very much
there you
so.
Go. Don't get into credit card debt if you can help it.
No,
that
no,
seems obvious.
No, I mean, and I mean, how many times on the radio do you hear, "Hey, we'll help you with your credit card debt"?
Yep.
I mean, it is a big issue in America, and it's a big issue in general. And you know, you don't want to be paying that off. You'd rather use that money for something else.
No doubt, no doubt. So lots going on at the Treasurer's Office. So maybe kind of looking ahead, are there any legislative agendas in 2024 for the department agents?
So legislative-wise, again, going back to how I want to make things more efficient, more up-to-date, there's a lot of things that need to be updated at the Treasury, like our unclaimed property, how we pay out certain things and make it easier for people, our investments, making them updated to the new, you know, new things, working with our public depositories and things of that nature. And that's kind of what we do. We try to just, you know, streamline things, make
sure
it up to date, because a lot of things have just not been up to date over time, and it's just time to do it. So we do that. But a lot of what we do with the legislature is kind of teach them what we do. Our stuff over at the Treasury is super complicated. With the bonds and what and everything. So I have always made my office very available to any legislator that wants to be kind of taught, in a better, lack of a better term, how we do our investments, how we do our bonds, how they affect our credit rating, because the credit rating is so important.
Yes.
And, I mean, I'm sure don't have enough time to go into it, but I could do a whole thing on the credit rating and we could just go into that. But just to explain to the legislature how important the credit rating is and how that affects the way we borrow money. So, you know, they'll call us and I'll send somebody over there, or they'll come over, and they've been very, very happy about that. So making my office available to learn the finances of the state to legislators, to people who just want to know little things. And I really have appreciated the legislature being open and happy to want that education.
That's awesome.
It is. I mean, you guys do a great job over there. I have learned so much just from this podcast. But listening to speeches you've given and presentations you've done in the years past, I think I've upped my game a little bit on personal finance and just an overview of what the state does and as far as the Treasury goes. So very much appreciate that. We'll kind of wrap, get to the end here a little bit, but a couple of fun questions for you. One more before we kind of break into those, though. What do you think maybe the greatest accomplishment since being the treasurer?
It really is unclaimed property. I mean, it really is. I mean, on day one, I set the unclaimed property team down. I said, it's imperative to me that y'all get as much money out as you possibly can. And they, I set that goal, and they achieved it. I mean, they've exceeded my expectations on it. I mean, it is honestly, I tell Lee Youngblood, the unclaimed property director, you have the best and actually worst job in the state. You have the best job because you're giving money back to people who it's rightfully theirs, and they're happy about it. And you, once they get it, there's nothing but positive feedback.
Sure.
I mean, hey, I mean, it's money. The worst part of the job is he gets hung up on and chewed out when he calls because they think it's a scam. And so,
I didn't think about that.
And so it's how many times you get a call for your new car warranty?
That's right.
It's kind of the same equivalent, and I hate that so much for him. But they call back. He calls back and goes, no. We really are with the Mississippi State Treasury, and we really do have your money. Because, I mean, let's be honest. I would be a little skeptical, too, if I was somebody and someone said, hey, I'm from the state, and I want to give money back to you instead of the other way around of you giving me money.
Would not be on my bingo card for the day if I got that call.
Definitely wouldn't. I mean, so.
That's pretty good, though. That's great. And big fan, again, Unclaimed Property killing it over there. Shout out to you folks. And just, again, for our listeners, if you get that call, check in. It is a real deal. You know, don't hang up on it.
And you can always go to treasury.ms.gov. After, say, you hang up on us, you can go there and go to treasury.ms.gov and see if it really is you.
I love that. Yeah. Contingency plan for the hang up, too. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, look, to get into the fun questions here, we know you spend a lot of time running around the state. We like to eat. Everybody likes to eat. Do you have a favorite, maybe locally, or maybe somewhere that you don't get to go very often around the state?
So, you know, you have your local favorites and everything, but, you know, Brad's going to really appreciate this. I love Crichelle's.
Oh, yeah.
I love Crichelle's. And Bob, we just had Easter lunch there on Sunday. And Bob and my family go back when we had the store. The headquarters was right down the road. Okay. So Dad would always go there. We would meet Dad there. And I remember when it was all smoky and you could smoke in there. And if y'all have been there, you know the swordfish that's in there.
Absolutely.
He was a different color at one time. He,
that's funny.
And he is definitely not the same color he was when I was younger. But from all the smoke and everything, but now it's so funny how it's not smoky anymore. But Bob is such a great guy, and Dad would take people from all that would come in and want to work with McRae's from all over the country, and he'd just take them to Crichelle's.
It's a great spot.
And it's a great spot, but it's a fun spot. I mean, it's a good meal, and it's everything, and it's just one of those Mississippi staples. I think it's just a great place, and it's, you know, far more dangerous now than it used to be over there, but I feel the guy with the shotgun in the back will help me.
Yeah, that's right. He's a good guy to have on hand, that's for sure. Do they still have the jukebox?
They, you know, have a new jukebox.
Oh.
So it's a new jukebox, and when they start singing Happy Birthday and everybody's clapping, yeah. I mean, it's not your birthday, and you're just so happy for the person that does it. And, I mean, it's some of the best onion rings, you know, in the state.
Man, I'm hungry already thinking about this. We're going to Crichelle's for lunch, okay?
Oh, all goodness. Right. I've heard of it. I've never been. But after this, I'm going to pull the trigger for
sure. It is worth it. It is, like I said, it is kind of a hole in the wall. I mean, it's fun. It's just a fun experience, and it's a good experience.
Got to check out the new jukebox.
For sure. New jukebox. Okay. So we'll transition from food to music. That makes sense. So we don't know if you're a music person or not, but have you been? What's your favorite concert you've ever been to?
Well, the two-part answer to that.
Okay, great.
I was born in the '80s, and so I mean, there's a lot of hair metal bands I like, Guns N' Roses, things of that nature, nice. Def Leppard, Metallica, absolutely. Things of that. But in the '90s, I really started to love music. And I'm a big Weezer fan.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's awesome. I'm a big Weezer, and I'm a huge Pixies fan.
Okay, I don't know
Pixies. Remember at the end of Fight Club, there's a song that comes on at the end?
That's
the Pixies. Where Is My Mind? Yeah. I love the Pixies, and I got to finally – I've always wanted to see the Pixies, and they have a kind of bad history with each other, and eventually got back together because, you know, money. And I finally saw Weezer and the Pixies together.
Oh, wow.
About 5 years ago, and it was maybe the best concert in terms of music that I've ever seen. I loved it to death, but I had a very in terms of concert experience.
Okay.
I had the very fortunate circumstance to see U2 at the Sphere.
Oh, nice!
And I'm a big U2 fan.
Nice.
And I've always liked U2, and from the '80s and all that. And I got to be there I was there the second day the Sphere was ever open.
That's awesome.
I happened to be in Vegas for something, and I was like, I want to go see them. And that was an experience.
I can only imagine.
I mean, that was one of the most amazing visual experiences I've ever seen. And it's just, if you ever have a chance to go to the Sphere, I think the Grateful Dead are playing there now for a couple months. And then they haven't announced who's coming after that. But if you ever want to go see it, it is just amazing.
It throws my depth perception off looking at the videos.
It does, and the videos don't do it justice. I mean, you're just around it, and you're just immersed in everything going on, and it is just such a visual. I mean, you kind of forget you're listening to music, actually. I mean, because you're just so captivated by what's going on. But yeah, those are my two best experiences I've had at a concert.
Those are incredible answers.
Those are. In fact, I'm going to say that's the best answer. I'm headed to the Sphere May 24th to see Dead & Co.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Thank you for pumping that up.
Oh, yeah, it is. And if you sit on the second floor, the second floor up, you can see the whole Sphere around you, and it's just grabs you. It's just amazing. But if you have a fear of heights, don't go. I mean, because it is literally like that.
That's amazing. Best answer ever.
Absolutely.
Treasure McCray, thank you so much for coming on the show. Like Will said, just an awesome education. So come back.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank y'all for having me, and I'd love to come back sometime, and appreciate y'all having me again. We'll be at the vault next time.
At the vault. Perfect, perfect. We'll wrap things up right there. Thank you to our listeners, our viewers, for tuning into the Extra Mile podcast. You can watch and listen to episodes by visiting gomdot.com/the Extra Mile. Follow us on social media at Mississippi DOT is the handle there. We want to thank our producer, editor, Drew Hall, for holding things down behind the scenes. And remember to drive smart out there on Mississippi highways.